Josh said we're in the middle of a 40-day challenge. We're on day 21. You may be on a different day, as Josh indicated. But we are on day 21. And what we're doing, if you're not familiar with the phrase red letter words, those are the words in the Bible that Jesus spoke. And what we want to do is actually put those words into practice. And we've been looking at five principles that Jesus commands or asks his followers to put in practice. And they're being, forgiving, serving, giving, and going. And there they are right there. So those are the targets that we're aiming at. And today we're going to look at the target of serving. But before we dive into that, I want us to notice that there's a flow to this. We began the journey with being, and that's intentional. Because if we don't get that right, we're not going to get the next ones right. You and I were created in the image and likeness of God. The people you don't like were created in the image and likeness of God. We were created to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and with others. This is about our core identity. This is who you are, or who you've been created to be, as an image bearer of Christ. And this is important because here's the thing. However you see yourself, that's how you're going to define your meaning and purpose in life. You find yourself the wrong ways, you're going to pursue the wrong purposes. And meaning and purpose flow from identity. Last week, I was talking about sin. We do that from time to time here. And I said, don't think of sin just as, okay, sin is the bad things that I do. But I said, think of sin as a force or a quest to find meaning and purpose in life apart from a relationship with the Creator of life. That's what sin wants you to do. Sin doesn't care what you do as long as it's not connected with the Creator of life. And because we have all sinned, and we all fall short of the glory of God, we need forgiveness that's offered in Jesus Christ. And one of the things that's been really cool about this Red Letter Challenge is several of you have been sharing your experiences, and not only just like your own forgiveness, but even if you haven't shared this, I wonder how many of you have experienced that relief when you have forgiven someone else, or you thought you were, yeah. Is that, or you're waving at me? We thought that we were punishing somebody else with our unforgiveness, and we realized we're just carrying a heavy weight. It just something that bogs us down, and we've experienced that release. And then when we experience that frees us up. I'm free to serve. I'm free to love others regardless of their response. And at some point when Christ is working in my life, serving others, loving others, doesn't become a have to. It becomes a want to. It's like I'm so excited about what God is doing that I want to do this because Jesus has served us. In fact, psychologists tell us this. They suggest that nothing fulfills you more than serving others. That's kind of fascinating. But my own anecdotal evidence here, I think I said that word correctly, some of the most miserable people I know, they do very little to voluntarily serve other people. And sometimes when they do, they do it for the wrong motives. They do it with self-recognition. And you know what? That's a hard, lonely life. It really is. And serving others, that invites us into a life that's bigger than ourselves. And that's one of the most freeing things we can do is realize that life itself is bigger than us. And God invites us to a bigger story. And the reason why we get so much joy is because that's how God made you. That's how He wired you. He wired you to serve and to know and to love others. In fact, Jesus himself said, I'm a servant. Remember the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom. So if we're created in the image and likeness of God, and the very Son of God, God in the flesh, came and served others, guess what we ought to be doing? We ought to be serving. Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew 10, 42 through 45, it says, and Jesus called them to him. I always kind of like imagine Jesus, like the disciples are a lot like you and I, where every once in a while, where he's got to go, okay, boys, come together. We're literally going to have a come to Jesus moment here. And he says, you know that those who are considered rulers, I like how he says those who are considered. It's kind of like God's really the ruler, but those who are considered the rulers of the Gentiles, they lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. And he says, listen, guys, he says, but it shall not be so among you. Whoever would want to be great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must be slave of all. So you want to be first, that's cool. Just serve everyone. And it says, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. So if we're gonna take Jesus seriously, we can probably consider this is like a gathering of servants here today. If you don't like the word servant, how about a gathering of blessers? You are a people that are gathered together because we're called to go out and bless the world around us. And Jesus' followers among anybody along the planet ought to be known like man, those people are the most generous, they're the most forgiving, and the people with the biggest servant hearts. And that's your experience every day, right? Sometimes it is. Sometimes it's not. But let me suggest it. There's three ways we're going to live. One, we're going to live in outright rebellion against the kingdom of God. We're just going to say, nope, that's not for me. I don't want it. And I'm going to rebel against the kingdom of God, what God is doing, which is, quite frankly, if kids listen up, choice A is really bad. Okay? It's foolish and destructive. Let's see what's behind door number two and door number three before we make a decision here. Secondly, we can live as directors of the kingdom, which isn't necessary because that position is already taken. All right? God is the director of the kingdom. So here we go. Three's the answer, okay? Or C if you're following the ABC part. Three, we will live as servants of and for the kingdom of God. And here's the reality. This is where we find the blessings. And you know what else I find? I find that when, not if I mess up, when I live in direct rebellion against the kingdom, when I get to the place where I become a director and I say, hey God, here's what I want you to do and here's how it's gonna work out and bless this in Jesus' name. When I do those kinds of things, you know what I found out about God and what I find out about Jesus is Jesus lovingly brings me back in, and you see that throughout the Gospels. Jesus sends out his disciples. He says, "Okay, do this," and then I just wonder how many times he did like facepalm Jesus when they came back. But he lovingly time and time again brings them back. And allows us to come into repentance and align ourselves with his plans and his purposes for our lives. And today, I want to look how Jesus does that. And he brings the disciples back to their identity, and it's in the feeding of the 5,000. We want to look at that story today. And I don't know if you knew this, but this is the only miracle in the Bible that is in all four Gospels. All four Gospels record this event. And we're going to look at it from Mark's Gospel, Mark 6:31. If you want to flip pages to get there, it's going to be up on the screen. And it's really cool because Mark is known for his brevity. Like you read the other Gospels and there's like pages on a story or something. And Mark's like, and then he tells these stories. But for whatever reason, Mark really expands in this area here. Fun fact that's not related to my sermon. Mark spends half his gospel before the week of the crucifixion. He spends the second half during that week of crucifixion. So Mark's like in a hurry to get somewhere. And then he slows down and zooms in on this one week. That's free, no charge. The other interesting thing about Mark's gospel is that if the disciples do something really stupid, Mark's the one who records it. Mark points out the times that they mess up. Now, interestingly enough, Peter is the guy that Mark talked to write his gospel. So I think Peter's like, yeah, you know how Matthew said this and this? Yeah, here's what really went down. All that part's true, but yeah, we had this little argument on the side of who was the greatest and all these goofy things. So Mark's going to talk about those things. But you know what's really cool? Is you got these guys that got into petty arguments. They abandoned the Lord at his greatest moment. I mean they're not like checking off all the boxes here. So you got this group that are the most unlikely people who radically changed the world. Radically changed the world in their lifetime by the power of God. So have you messed up a time or two? Anybody like that? Darn near most. All right. God is for you. God wants to bring you back into repentance, bring you back into your identity and your purpose and what he wants to do through you. And I want to remind us as we're going through these challenges, and has anybody read through a day and go, man, that's a tough one. I don't know if I can do that. Anybody? Okay. All right. Okay. And here's the thing. God is going to walk with us. It's not where you start, it's where you finish. Right? Where you finish. And sometimes, my wife's favorite place at the mall, for the kids here, a mall's like a place we used to go to and go shopping. But her favorite place at the mall is the map. And she always looks for that red dot that says, you are here. And so there's sometimes in life, we got to go, okay, where's the red dot in my life? I mean, I want to be over here, but here's where I'm at. And so we need that honest appraisal. Let me give you a little bit of background, and then we will jump in. So the disciples have just had some great ministry success. They're Jesus sent them out. They were casting out demons. They were healing people. And so they're tired. They've also heard that John the Baptist has just been beheaded. And so, I mean, imagine that. You have a great ministry moment. You have this terrible loss. And maybe you can relate to this. Let me see how many hands I get on this one. Has anybody had disappointments in life? Anybody have any in the last 6 to 8 months? You know what we got to do with those things? We got to grieve the loss. We got to extend forgiveness to those that have hurt us. We need to seek forgiveness of those that we've hurt. Because if not, you know what we do? We remain stuck in the past. We remain stuck in the past. We're unable to move forward with the mission that we've been given. So let's dive in. Let's see what we can learn here. So Jesus understands what the disciples are going through. And verse 31, it says, and he said to them, come away by yourselves to a desolate place. Now let's get away from everything and rest for a while. And it says, for many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. Mark, what do you mean no leisure even to eat? That's not leisure, man. That's a necessity. But anyways, he says they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in a boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them and ran on afoot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. Yeah. I just imagine if you're the disciples, like, okay, finally. They need a break. And then you're like, oh no. And I was thinking thinking this last year when I went over to Liberia, and if you've ever been on a mission trip, my typical response when I come back from a mission trip, it's like the next 2 weeks, I'm still thinking about, you know, what God did and what he's going to do, and I have this like a spiritual high, and actually God's still doing really good things based off that trip. Right now, my brother and I are training 19 church planters in Liberia via Zoom. We learned how to do Zoom in the last 6 months. But shortly after I came back from that trip, within the next 2 months, I did the hardest funerals I've ever done in ministry. I had suicide, a teenager, and an infant. And I'm just like, man, this is rough. You know, I'm actually, I had a good thing going that, but it still, you know, tires you. And then you have these pressures, and you look and you go, this is why we need to stay close to Jesus. This is why we need to deal with what's coming. And here's a reality. If you want to serve Jesus, serving and ministry takes place within the realities of life. Yeah. Usually when I have opportunities to serve, it's not like, okay, got my life all straightened out, everything's going smoothly. Now, Jesus, where can I serve you? Where can I show people the love and the hope that I have in you? And Jesus says, right in the midst. Right in the midst. Right in the midst of the highs and the lows, the mountains, the peaks, the valleys. Right there is where you're going to serve. Now think of an athlete. Occasionally an athlete will get injured, and you need to go to the sideline. There are times where we need to pause. We need to get healing. We need to forgive. We need to do those things. But as an athlete, they didn't sign up to be on the sideline. They signed up to play the game. Unless you're getting really paid, then paid well, then maybe you don't care if you're on the sideline. But other than that, you signed up to play the game. And that's how Jesus designed you. He did not design you for the sideline. The sideline has its purpose. For rest and healing, but we need to get back in there, and the way we get back in is by dealing with what comes at us. It's extending forgiveness. It's seeking forgiveness. It's saying, Jesus, I don't know if I have the strength today. Jesus, I don't know what I'm going to say to this mother when I preach this funeral. Lord, I'm just begging you, Lord. Say something through me. Do something. And if some stupid's about to come out, just don't let it come out, Lord. I need you today. Because I know you didn't create me for the sidelines. Verse 34, it says, and when he went ashore, he saw a great crowd. And he had compassion on them. And it's like this contrast. I'm sure the disciples are like, no. And Jesus looks at him and says, and he saw compassion on them. Because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. Here's another thing about servants. Servants of the kingdom have compassion. We have compassion. It's not something we muster up. It's something that God does through us. You know, and if we think about that, if you know what it's like to be on the sideline, man, we ought to be the most compassionate people. We ought to be able to look and go, I know what it's like to be where you're at. You know, I know what it's like to be hurting. And so Mark tells us that Jesus gathers together these hurting people. In fact, they just kind of flock to him. He didn't need to gather them. And he says that he's teaching them many things. If we go to Luke's gospel, Luke says that he served the people by speaking about the kingdom of God and healing people. So he gathers together, he does two things. He heals the people, and he teaches them about the kingdom of God. I'm hoping somebody recognizes this. Does anybody recognize this sign? Has anybody ever seen this sign? Or seen this? You seen this sign? All right, good. All right. So this sign, it's from the show that John Krasinski created. There's John. You guys recognize John there? He was cool enough to give me this sign. Once I downloaded it. And his show is called Some Good News. That's the SGN. And if you remember seeing it, his show debuted at the beginning of the pandemic. And so you think, you know, there's confusion, there's fear. Good thing we're past all that. So there's confusion, there's fear, there's blame. Yeah, we're still on target. There's despair. And John, I thought it was just quite brilliant. What's he do in the middle of this? He drops some good news. He'd go around and he would find good stories around the world, good news stories, and he would broadcast that. The show is excellent. If you ever watched it, it was just great. And you know, and I think as Christians, and I think we don't have some good news. We have the good news. We have the good news. And I think, what are we doing then with that? Is that the story that we're telling? Is that the lens that we're looking out in the world and telling that story? Are we telling someone else's story? And I'm not saying that the good news ignores the negative. In fact, the good news looks at that negative. They look and go, okay, this is very serious. But let's look at it from the perspective of the gospel and what Jesus is doing. Because that's what Jesus did there. Jesus talked to them about the kingdom of God. He didn't ignore the hurting people. In fact, he healed the hurting people. And we need to be like this dude. We need to be dropping good news. We need to be living that out. So Jesus is over here. He's healing people. He's preaching good news. What were the disciples doing at this time? Well, apparently they were holding a meeting. They were holding a meeting because they came up to Jesus and they said, "Hey, Jesus, we've come to a decision." I just imagine if I'm Jesus, like, "Oh, really? Why don't you go ahead and drop that? I'd love to hear what decision you came to." So verse 35, it says, "And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, 'This is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countrysides and villages and buy themselves something to eat.'" Okay. Here's what directors of the kingdom do. Directors of the kingdom make decisions, and then they tell Jesus what to do. Directors of the kingdom look around, look into Wildwood, look into the Bellevue and the villages and Sumter and Lake and Marion County, and they look out and they go, "This is a bad place. This is a bad place for the gospel. This COVID, this is a bad time for the gospel." And this happens all the time. I can't tell you how many meetings I've been a part of where we come together and we go, "Here's our decision. Now let's pray." And we say, "Lord, we ask that you bless this. You know, bless our great idea and do something with it in such a way that you get glory." And I'm not saying we don't need to wrestle with things. I'm not saying decisions don't need to take place. But I mean, we got to get rid of like these excuses where we come up with a thing, these ideas where we say, "Well, we can't do this. It's too late." And if you've been part of church for a long time, a lot of times we go, "Yeah, it's too late. Our best days are behind us, and we're gonna revel in those." Now, here's something that's ironic in all this. I like the background music, by the way. Doesn't bother me. It's cool. Here's the ironic thing. John's gospel tells us Jesus already knew what he was going to do. Okay? It wasn't like Jesus, like, "Okay, yeah, Peter, tell me. Okay, it's too late. There's not enough, you know, this, and John, what do you got?" Okay. Jesus already knew what he was going to do. And do you think that there's a possibility God already knows what he wants to do in this community? And maybe our task is to go to him and say, Lord, how do you want me to serve? How do you want us to serve? Because their decision, their conclusion was premature and unnecessary. And the church, we do need to make decisions. But our primary need isn't decision makers. Our primary need is people that can discern the voice of God and say, okay, God, what is it that you want to do? And then we can hear from him to say, this is a good place. This is a good time. I have planted you here. You know, maybe you lived here your whole life. Well, you lived here your whole life for a purpose. Maybe you came here to play golf, and that's okay. But God has a bigger purpose in all of that. So servants of the kingdom hear God's voice, and they look for opportunities to serve. It's a recognition to say, God, you were not caught off guard. These people came, you knew what you were going to do. COVID came, you knew what you were going to do. Good things, bad things, ugly things, awesome things. They came, and you already knew what you were going to do. So they came with their solution, and Jesus is awesome here. Verse 37, it says, but he answered them, he said, you give them something to eat. How are we going to feed them? You're going to do it. And they said, Jesus, shall we buy 200 denarii worth of bread? Now, I mean, how many of you got 200 denarii on you? I don't even have a denarii on me. He says, shall we go buy 200 denarii of bread and give it to them to eat? In other words, Jesus, I don't think you get this. The task is too big. And really, Jesus, isn't that a waste of money? Seriously, you're going to take what resources we might have and you're going to waste it on them? All right. Servants of the kingdom discover what God is calling us to do. Directors of the kingdom first ask, how are we going to accomplish it? Okay? That's not a bad question. But the first question we need to answer is, what is God calling us to do? Not how are we going to accomplish it? And really, in many ways, I mean, this is kind of my thought and view on things. I discover what God wants to do, and kind of figure it's His problem to figure out the how. Sometimes He invites me in on that. But you know, and you may be sitting there going, "Well, isn't that reckless? Don't we need planning?" Of course we need planning. But we got to figure out the what first. You know, when we started this church, we didn't have a worship team. We had a bunch of people, and we said, well, we believe God's calling us. This is the time to launch. And we launched without a worship team. And then one day, somebody sitting in here with a red shirt showed up and said, I'll lead worship today. And it's this guy right here. Then after he was done worshiping, or leading us in worship, I came over and I said, can you do that every Sunday? And he's done that. He's done that ever since. We answered the what, and God answered the how for us. You know, I think some of you know this. At the close of 2019, we were looking at the finances, and we're going, this isn't good. I think we're in trouble here. And everybody who got paid, we gathered together in a room and we prayed. And we said, if worse comes to worse, who's willing to take a significant pay cut? Everybody that got paid raised their hand. And here's what each one of us said. I'm called to serve here. And we're going to move forward. We don't know how, but we'll take whatever pay cut we need, and we're going to move forward. December 31st, somebody knocked on my door. I had not talked to that person about what was going on here. A person knocked on my door, handed me a check. God's timing is not always our timing. but it's on time. Okay? Handed me a check that put us in the black. See, it's I don't have to figure out the how. I need to be prepared for it. I don't have to figure out the how. I say yes to the what. Say yes to what God is calling you to do. You will figure out the how as you move forward. That doesn't mean we don't work hard. That doesn't mean we don't prepare. But we say yes to the what. And you know what? Here's what I've also discovered. It's not always, and typically it's not major things. Typically it's very small things. Like, I want you to love your next door neighbor. You might even want to find out what their name is. Okay? Typically, it is that simple, that God has something right in front of us. And I'll just challenge you. Pray today. Pray this week. God, send somebody my way that you want me to bless in some way, that you want me to serve, you want me to show the love of Jesus. I guarantee you. Come back next week. If he doesn't answer that, you get your money back. So verse 38, Jesus speaking again, he says, and he said to them, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. And when they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Which, you know, the disciples got to be going. You know, when they're going out to get, like, okay, let's just humor Jesus. You know, and they come back and go, 5 and 2 fish. Can you do anything with that? I'm glad you asked. Listen, servants of the kingdom take what they have and they put it in the hands of Jesus. Okay? Take what you have. Right? That's a philosophy I'm living to die on. That I'm going to take what I have, I'm going to put it in the hands of Jesus and see what he does with that. And he already knew what he was going to do. Verse 39. It says, and then he commanded all of them to sit down in groups on the green grass. I mean, if you're one of the disciples, you're like, what's going on here? Jesus. You know, we can't feed all the people. And Jesus is going, he says, so they sat down in groups by hundreds and by fifties, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing, broke the loaves, and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. He divided the 2 fish among them all. Okay, so Jesus is serving. Disciples are on the sideline, and Jesus says, let me invite you back into the place that you're supposed to be. Okay? Servants of the kingdom are actively involved in the lives of people. Okay? I don't know how to do this without interacting with people, without pouring into people. Jesus tells his followers, and think about Peter when he restores Peter. He starts with being. He says, Peter, do you love me? Are we connected? Are we in this relationship? That's being. Jesus forgives him, and then what does Jesus do? Jesus says, feed my sheep. And here's a good test if you think, okay, am I feeding God's sheep? Am I doing that? Here's a good test. It's called the sniff test. Do you smell like sheep? Do you smell like sheep? And here's what I mean by that. If you're feeding the sheep, you're going to be around them. Okay? People that feed sheep smell like sheep because they are around the sheep. All right? If we're serving, we're going to be actively involved. We're going to be engaged with people. Here's what servants don't do. They don't send the sheep away. Okay? That was the disciples' first response. Jesus, send them away. Jesus goes, no, we're going to minister. And when I say we, I mean you. And you're going to give me the little you have. I'm going to bless it. I'm going to multiply it. And then you're going to go out. You're going to distribute it. Verse 42, and they all ate and were satisfied. They didn't just have a nibble, they were satisfied. The gospel satisfies. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces of fish. I just wondered, this little boy, like, he probably got in trouble when he got home. Because it's like, Mom, you're not going to believe what happened with the fish. And and the bread. But anyway, she's probably like, yeah, you just made up that story. And it says, and those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men, which probably means there could have been 15, 20,000 people there. Because it's just talking about the men that were there. Don't ask me why, Mark. Just talking about the men. But here's something we need to understand. We're not the producers. God's the producer. We are dispensers. Servants of the kingdom are distributors of God's grace. Think about that. God has poured into you. God has poured into you gifts. He's poured into you talents. He has blessed you in many ways, financially and what have you. And he's blessed you to be a blessing. And here's the thing. And I see it in my own life and my own mind. What doesn't seem to be enough, right? Bring it to Jesus, becomes an abundance. They had an abundance of what they needed. What do we need to do? We align ourselves with Jesus. Look for those opportunities to serve and put what we have in his hands. So here, you want to find something about the church. The church is a movement of people that has been called to serve. And guess what? If you call yourself a Christian, you're part of the church. Doesn't mean you're necessarily a member here, but you are part of the church, capital C. And those of you that are looking for a perfect church, for a perfect pastor, I'll give you the address afterwards. No, it doesn't exist. Okay? It's like, if you're looking for the perfect church, you're looking for the perfect time to serve, you're looking for all these things, they don't exist. Okay? What does in Revelation 21, but Jesus has come and we're living on a new earth and a new heaven. That's the only time that it exists. And Jesus calls us right now, the church with all its flaws and blemishes, to love and to serve him and to go back to him and say, Jesus, we messed up here, but we want to continue serving because you have blessed us so much. And here's a promise to you. If you've been on the sidelines, get plugged in. Get plugged in serving here. Get plugged in and serving your community, and I'll guarantee you this, you do this with the right reasons under Jesus' power, you're going to have an incredible joy. You're going to look, I mean, there's moments, I remember those moments in life, and let me give you two great moments in your life. One is the day you were born, and two, the day you discover why. All right? And there's great joy in saying, yes, this is what I was created to do. This is why you have put me on this planet. And these disciples who probably most of us preachers, we're going to get a lecture when we get to heaven, like, hey, I was listening in on your sermon. You think that was hard walking on the water? Or you think that was easy? You want to try it now? But anyways, these guys that messed up so many times, they finally got it. They really started to move forward. Think about Peter, right? I look at all the apostles and I'm like, yeah, I'm probably most like Peter. Where I'm like, yeah, I'm going to do it, Lord. And then mess up and go, okay, I'm still your boy. And then mess up. But Peter got it. Listen to what Peter would later write. But one of the guys who came to Jesus and said, there's not enough. Send the people away. Here's what Peter would later write. He says, each of you has received a gift. Here's what he tells you to do with your gifts. Use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's very grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks the oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Man, that's what I want to do. I want to see God glorified in what we do as a church. I want to see God glorified in how you serve your neighbor and how you love the people that are around you. Let me just close with this one question. Who's God calling you to serve this week? And if some of you, you're like, yeah, I know. I know who I need to serve. Some of you are like, I don't know. And those of you that are, I don't know, can I challenge you this week to say, God, show me somebody, show me someone that you want me to serve this week. I guarantee you he's going to show you. Let me close in prayer, and then I'll have the worship team come up in a closing song. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you that in our sinful brokenness and our confusion, you came and you loved and you served. You not only showed us the way to the kingdom, but you became the way. We're so thankful that you defeated sin, you defeated death, and you rose victoriously. And Lord, that you call us to join you in mission. Father, I pray that we would be a people that walk in our purpose, that know who we are in Christ, and love